Hello, everybody. I am Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl and a Wisdom Weaver who helps you to reweave the story of your life so that you are more able to be rooted in your core self in mind, body, and spirit. And I am here today to talk to you about the Scorpio full moon that is coming up on April the 23rd. Or 24th, depending where you live. And that Scorpio full moon is going to be at 4 degrees Scorpio, opposing the sun at 4 degrees Taurus. And we'll look at all the aspects in a couple of minutes. But before we look at the full moon, I want to show you my t-shirt because it just felt right for this full moon. So this is actually from a Michael Franti gig a few years ago, and I was unable to wear it because I bought the women's shirt and it was just far too tight. And I've kind of slimmed down so I can wear it. So it's eat, sleep, hug, kiss, dance, change the world, repeat. And that's what this full moon is about. And you're like, but this Scorpio is kind of gloomy, right? Scorpio. Well, Scorpio, of course, has an awful lot more to it. And of course, Scorpio has a lot of strengths and resilience as well. But I'm going to focus on one key word for this full moon, because this full moon is the first full moon after the big Aries eclipse. It's also the first full moon that's coming after the Mars-Saturn conjunction. And this full moon as well is just 3 days after the once in every 14 years Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that's coming up on the 20th. There's a video on that. It's also a full moon where Mercury is about to station direct 2 days after the full moon at the same degree as the Aries North Node, harking back to the eclipse. It's also a full moon that is taking place on the 23rd or 24th, not long before Mars comes up to meet Neptune in Pisces. And Venus has passed Chiron, that was conjunct the eclipse, and is moving to just a shade away from truth teller. Eris, who's here to shake tables and shake up our perceptions. So there's a lot going on around this full moon. You know, there may not be a huge amount of aspects to it, and we'll look at those in a minute. But Scorpio, at one level, is really, is really, excuse me, really about deep soul desire, and I've got to keep an eye on this. If I look a bit lopsided, I had dental surgery yesterday, and I just felt some blood come up. So I apologize if you freak out by blood. I'm going to try and keep an eye on it. But of course, it's a full moon, and that means it's opposing the sun in Taurus, which is all about rootedness. So I'm going to say really that the key message of this full moon is about getting rooted in your soul desires for the future. Because we had an Aries eclipse, which is setting huge intentions, a new moon eclipse. And then we've got this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is opening up potential and possibilities. This could not be a more powerful time for really getting rooted in what you desire in all areas of life, and then settling in and actually making it real and manifesting it and getting rooted in those desires. So that's kind of the core message of the full moon. Am I done? Leave it now. I'm going to tell you all about all the details. But first, I pulled actually three cards because we are in such a big time right now. So I am using the Tree Devia deck again. There's a discount link in the description. I'm loving these cards more and more. I'm actually going on the Creators Podcast pretty soon. So of course I'll be sharing that with you as well, with probably on my Substack and on my Facebook page. But this was the first card I pulled, and this is the Knight of Pentacles. And the Pentacles are earthly cards, and this, the sun is in Taurus, which is Venus sign, and the pentagram is Venus symbol, which is why I wear one. But this is the Knight of Pentacles, and this says that this it says you are great at everything, you are doing really well, and it's time to give yourself a pat on the back. You're financially independent, practical, successful at your job, but also very nurturing, caring, and home-oriented. And if you're not feeling this, I will tell you why I still think it's relevant to you. Motherly attributes and strength are your main characteristics. Generosity, security, and liberty are your predominant features, and you enjoy your life this way. Keep your compassionate and down-to-earth attitude whenever you face some challenges. So I'm seeing this card as more of an intention or an affirmation about a way to live in this world. I've been talking a lot to my membership community and a couple of friends about really kind of setting intention to create a very grounded and rooted and abundant life in all ways. There are many ways to do that. I'm not here on just a podcast episode to teach you how to do that, though I do have ways that I talk to my membership community about. But for now, see this card as an affirmation about what you want to be more of. You want to be financially independent, practical, and successful at your job or your business or your career, but also very nurturing, caring, and home-oriented. You want to develop these motherly attributes and strengths, and you want to be generous and secure, but yet free. And they're your predominant features to enjoy life. Now, if that doesn't resonate for you, you're quite not quite feeling the full moon, I think. I think this is what at core, what most of us want. Most of us don't want to kind of rule the world or, have a big mansion and things. We just want a very rooted, caring, connected life. And more of us are being pulled to that now. Now, then, the second card I pulled. Some past conflicts are creating residual resentment. You want to move on, but they keep pulling you back into their negativity. It's time to decide if you want to be at peace more than you want to be right, and say no to everything that stands in your way of tranquility. Make a compromise or move on. Either way, choose what will make you feel the best. Nothing is worth your stress. And the affirmation for this card is, I'm letting go of past resentment and starting fresh. And the last card we pulled is the sun. And remember, I said that we've got the sun in Taurus because it's a full moon. You'll show the chart in a minute. But I pulled the sun reversed, and I actually love the sun reversed. So this is a reminder to not take life too seriously. Get out of your comfort zone and play. Dance, sing, paint, and partake in something you've been delaying due to being too busy. Remember that joy is a natural state, so do whatever brings you the feeling of excitement, similar to what a child feels when they're enjoying a game. Always look on the bright side of life and don't think of that quote from where it happens in the movie, The Life of Brian. But this, the affirmation for this card is just saying, I am happy. for no reason, like a child. Now, on the Aries eclipse, I talked a lot about rebirth and seeing the world with the eyes of a child, new beginnings. There's so much new beginnings and healings in this chart, and in this month. And we really do have a choice about how we see the world and about whether we see the world through the eyes of a child and embrace that childlike energy within ourselves, focus on self-care that brings out that sense of rootedness and joy in just being in the world. So that's what these three cards are saying to me. Don't get stuck in the detail and the resentments and all of that. Just learn to be and embrace that divine inner child, for want of a better word. Jung had a concept that was called the divine child that's deep within. And I have noticed how lopsided I look. This was my dental surgery, so it's swollen. So anyway, let's move on. I am first going to talk about the number, then we're going to look at the chart, then I'm going to talk about the astrology. But I do want to say, first of all, that this is the pink moon. And it's really related to the pink phlox wildflowers that bloom in North America in early spring. It's also known as the breaking ice moon, the moon of the red grass appearing, or the Anglo-Saxons called this moon the egg moon. The Celts had names like budding moon, new shoots moon, seed moon, growing moon, and a neo-pagan name is awakening moon, but let's call it the pink moon. And now let's look at the chart. So this is the chart for the full moon. You can see it's on April the 23rd, which is a 5 day, which is bringing more change, 2 plus 3. But it's also in a 4 month, and it's a 4 degrees. And 4 is a number of stability in so many ways. And this is a fixed sign full moon. So at this point, after all the change that's coming, we are starting to figure out how to fix into place all that we desire, Scorpio, and that sense of rebirth, what we are birthing in our life, this new self that we are birthing into life. This is just huge this month. It's so powerful. Now, I am going to talk about a few things in this chart when I stop sharing again and just talk about the detail. But I do want to point out that, as I said, it's an opposition in fixed signs, but this is square to Pluto, which is the modern ruler of Scorpio. But it's also conjunct Haumea, which is that creation goddess of birth, of constant rebirth. She could actually, she could regenerate herself. She would give birth from all parts of her body, in the Hawaiian pantheon myth, and then she would regenerate and become younger again and keep rebirthing herself and giving more birth. And this is what we do, and this is what nature does. So this is a real planet of desire and rebirth and creation of what you desire to birth. Now, I won't go into any more detail because I'm already getting carried away. But as I mentioned, it's square to Pluto, and Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth, death of the old, transformation, regeneration as well. So can you see how this is really about all of these things? But I do want to say that in order to birth something new, you really have to know what you desire. So that brings me to the pink moon and things like that, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But incidentally, while I mention that this is square to Pluto is square to the full moon and to Haumea, course, they're having 13 exact squares. They started in 2022 and will end in 2028. Pluto and Haumea are really working together to birth a new paradigm. I do want to mention that Pluto will station retrograde on May the 2nd, and Haumea will station direct on July the 14th. So she's about the middle of her retrograde, opposing the sun. This is what happens with the slower moving planets. But Pluto is only 9 days from stationing retrograde. So this is another big kind of upheavally turning point, but one that is more consciously chosen, in my opinion, especially if you're doing the work and especially if you listen to my advice and write things all the time. Anyway, all other things I'll be talking about is what's going on here in Aries. I've mentioned that Mercury is stationing direct just 2 days after this, conjunct the North Node. Chiron has moved off the 19th degree temporarily. I'll talk about that. And Venus has gone over all of these and is about to conjunct Eris. So we've still got this strong Aries new beginnings energy under this new moon. And the full moon will be a point of perhaps, I don't see it more as a release, which is what the traditional things of, new moons of sorry of full moons is. I see this of a sense of fulfillment of some of the things you've been working on, making them real so that you can continue the growth and transformation that you want to do. So I'll be talking about all of those and probably Jupiter Uranus too, but I want to talk about why the energy of the word the pink moon and the other moons here really the other moon names really kind of resonate for this full moon, and they always seem to, no matter what culture has called them, what name. So I mentioned that the Anglo-Saxons called it the egg moon, which is birth, close to Easter as well, of course, but we all know that the Christian church kind of co-opted some of the old ways to create those holidays. Pink itself is one of the colors of Venus, and pink is also kind of got that energy of freshness of spring. It's also kind of that it's a muted color of red, which is blood, which is bringing creation. And there you go. Somebody else called it the moon of the red grass appearing. The Celts had the name budding moon, very much about spring, awakening, new shoots moon, seed moon, growing moon. So even though this is a full moon, it's about planting your seeds of desire. What do you really desire to create and grow? And that is the essence of this. And if you think of pink as well, there's a lot of energy of pink come up in the last year since I did the Venus retrograde glass. And incidentally, Venus home sign is Taurus, where the sun is in this. And it's become this energy of what does it mean to be a woman? But then this women owning their womanhood in their own way. And I'm not being necessarily specific to actual biological gender. I'm talking about that energy of the feminine. There's more sparkle. I've never bought more pink in my life, for a long time at least, than since last summer with the Barbie movie and with the rise of Taylor Swift and all of that kind of energy of maybe we need to do the feminine in a different way and birth something very new. So that's one energy of this. This is really more and more. I think the full moons often have an energy of new beginnings, almost as much as the new moons. Every lunation seems to have this endings and beginnings. This one has more got the energy of releasing Perhaps you know what others believed to be the feminine that you may have taken on from the culture or family that you were brought up in. You know, I was not raised with any healthy kind of modeling of what it was to be a woman in the world we live in now, and to embrace all of being a woman, not only kind of, you know, being a wife and a mother and things like that, but having some pink, having some sparkle, having some fun. And that brings me back to that card, the sun reversed, about being happy for no reason, like a child, you know, and that's not just for women. You know, men badly need this energy too. People do. The culture does. The world does. We need the energy of that childlike innocence. And oh, I don't know if you heard the beep, but if you did, I'm sorry about that. It was just a message from a nap I'm in. But this is really about rebirthing that sense of innocence and possibility. We're just, as I mentioned, 3 days after the Jupiter Uranus conjunction in Taurus, where the sun is, which is also about saying, I know I can birth and create this new sense of self, this self that is more loving, caring, considerate, all those things. That brings me back to the night of, I'm going to get that card again. The Knight of Pentacles. Again, Pentacles, Taurus, Venus, Earth signs. About this is focusing on achieving dreams with persistence. I'm going to drop the hard work thing. It doesn't always have to be hard work when you know what you're doing. Sorry about that. When you love what you're doing, persistence is necessary, keeping going. So, you know, I'm going to suggest what I've suggested to my members and what I've suggested to quite a few people is that you really use this time, the rest of April, and really right to the end of April, once Mercury's gone direct and Mars meets Neptune, to really let go of any of those old ideas about what a dream life would be. You know, I think when I came into kind of this world, really, in a big way, we were encouraged to kind of like dream big. And that meant like get your mansion on the beach, have several homes, and, you know, be a big star, you know. And if that's your dream, super duper. That's not for everybody. Let go of the shoulds of what other people tell you should want and really get clear on the kind of life you want to create. What kind of relationships do you want to be in? What do you want your marriage to look like if you're already married? And if you're already married and it's a good marriage, what would make it even more special? What do you want your daily life to look like? What do you want your work to look like? We don't really get very specific with these things often enough. And that brings me back to desire. Now, Kevin Eulinger, a Facebook friend, never met him. He's an astrologer, but he also does other things. He blew my mind open many years ago, actually, when I was running one of my Venus retrograde classes, because I had bought into the taught things that Venus and Neptune are the higher and lower octave of each other. Now, I've become wary of the whole octave thing altogether in many ways, but and Venus does have similarities with Neptune. They're both related with love and so on, how and connection. However, Venus is multifaceted, and Venus is very related to Pluto. Venus is earthly desires. Pluto is really soul desires. So, what do you desire to create and transform and change? And so that brings me back to this astrology. So I mentioned that the sun, Venus guided because it's in Taurus, is opposing the moon in Scorpio, which is Pluto guided. This is a moon of a full moon of really digging in deep and figuring out what you desire to create and birth in your deepest soul, your root, not just looking at pictures and going, oh, I like the look of that house. I'm going to create that. This is about the deep feeling around the life you want to create. Okay, so this full moon is powerful for this. I'm recording this on April the 12th. I had to wait till I could actually kind of open my mouth and talk again, even though it's all crooked. It's healing fast, by the way. The pain is disappearing by the hour. But this is really, you've got between the 12th, I'm going to say, building on the energy of the new moon eclipse that's waxing to full, to perhaps sit down and talk or meditate on or shamanic journey on or look at art to inspire you, of getting a very detailed picture of what kind of life you want to create, because we do create our life when we're intentional. We send it out to the universe and things start to happen. And I think, this is important to know. We've still got all this Aries energy. As I mentioned when we looked at the chart, Mercury's been rethinking who the self is right through the eclipse. It was conjunct Eris. Station, all those things went back over Chiron, that was exactly conjunct the eclipse, saying it's time to heal those old wounds and step into who you really are and choose to be and show up as in the world. And now Mercury is about to station direct on the North Node, and the eclipse was a North Node. Now Venus, the earthly desires in Aries, very passionate, very driven to create what she wants, getting very good clarity as well on what she wants. Venus is about to conjunct Eris, that says, shake up those old ideas, shake up those old beliefs, and then Venus will actually start to disappear from sight behind the sun and head towards her Gemini star point, which is on June the 4th. But I'll be doing a webinar on that on May the 1st, so you might want to sign up for that. It's there's a lot to say about that as well. And then Venus will be moving into her evening star phase after the conjunction in June, which is more of that receptive love goddess, which is more peaceful, which is more harmonious and more connected. Okay, because after that, Venus will start to move towards her retrograde. So, which means that she will be closer to the Earth early next year. And at that point, she is asking us to embody what we've learned and bring it down and in to mind, body, full acceptance and embodiment. So, all of that Aries is saying, just take action on this. This is such a powerful time. Now then, Mars is the guide for all of that Aries energy and was the guide for the Aries eclipse, of course. And Mars is coming up to Neptune after Mars had a conjunction with Saturn. The Mars-Saturn conjunction really was an encouragement to, to really kind of take a hard look, I'm going to say, at your self-limiting beliefs and about the structures that have stopped you creating what you want. It was also, in many ways, about releasing teeth because it aspected my chart and I had dental surgery, but that's another matter. Mars surgery, Saturn teeth. And jaw, because it went kind of deep into that. But now Mars is coming up to Neptune. And I'm going to say it. I think Mars likes clarity. Mars likes action. And we've got all that energy in Aries and that new Aries energy of saying, who am I? Who is my core self? Who am I after I've kind of let go of a lot of limiting beliefs and a lot of the voices of the structures I was brought up in and the voices that are critical, or may have been critical growing up, or the idea of who I am that society has created. Mars is coming up to Neptune, and that's going to dissolve a whole load of these things. Now then, I'm not going to lie, on a more mundane fund level, Scorpio full moons often bring watery events, so look for more of that. And the Mars coming up to Neptune brings watery events. But what this kind of feels like to me, looking at this whole chart, is around the full moon, when the energy is heightened already, is kind of about crying a river of tears and grief and letting go for the old you that was you, and then stepping into what you desire and who you really are deep inside, your divine child self, and getting rooted in that. So there's so much going on here about all this kind of connecting the mind, body, spirit. Pluto in Aquarius is about transforming the future, because we're moving into this Aquarian type of air energy, transformation of how you look at things. Pluto tends to as well dig deep and explore. Now, because Pluto is almost exactly squaring the full moon, I'm going to talk about another thing that's come up for me, and I know it will upset some people, but we're moving into a time of, you could call it unity consciousness, where the polarities are, we're going to realize that things are not opposite anymore. There are spectrums, black and white, but there's all these shades in the middle, all these polarities, and the same within you. We are a big kind of multi-dimensional mind, body, spirit kind of and energy particles and waves. We're coming together all in this body, and our role in life is to understand what that core self is within, so that you can become more rooted and fully you. Now then, Pluto in Aquarius, to look at one of the areas of separation that we have going on collectively, because it's square the full moon, and because Taurus, where the sun is the energy of nature and the earth and trees and rootedness and kind of the so-called natural world. And Scorpio at the opposite end really is about power, control, dynamics, and trying to manipulate and control others. Now, and this, I'm talking about this operating within you, by the way. So when I say that, take that on board. Now then, Pluto's in the halfway point, squaring the full moon, saying it's time to, stop kind of rejecting one end of the spectrum and stepping only into the other end of the spectrum. So Aquarius is a science based sign, and then, but it's also kind of very much about thinking out the box and doing things naturally. To my mind, this full moon is asking us to stop making science all wrong, whilst acknowledging there is something wrong there. There's no innovation in science anymore in kind of the academia world. There's no innovation in the structures of our society anymore. They have become rigid. But they need that energy of creation, of humanity, of thinking outside the box, We also need to integrate spirituality into all of this. Now, this is coming. Some are doing it. Not everybody agrees with, you know, their concepts, but it's starting to become less binary and realize that we can mix, for example, science and spirituality, that it is mixed already and that we are mixed within it, and that we can mix some stable conservative values, so to speak, and I'm doing conservative with a little c, you know, about thinking that some things are really the kind of very stable story of our lives or the collective's lives, whilst also being open to change. This is really about transforming that and bringing everything together in mind, body, in spirit, within you, within society, within connection with what you're creating. It's a fabulous full moon. And that kind of brings me to the pink as well, because pink is one of Venus's colors, and the egg. We are rebirthing something. And the egg moon, Haumea itself, the dwarf planet of creation, is shaped like an egg with a little red spot on it that looks like the bit where the umbilical cord is attached to the cosmic mother. So yes, it is about finding the cosmic mother, the return to the goddess, return to the natural world, but it's not about rejecting the other. It's not about saying, you know, all right, you went too far, you went too controlling, but you've still got good in you as well. Pluto in Aquarius is that mix of the ancient and the new. It's also a mix of science and spirituality. So there's so much here about moving into non-duality or non-binary kind of states, and see it, recognizing and acknowledging that we all have everything within us and everything is here in our world as well. There is no other. Nobody is better than anybody else, and nothing is higher than anything else. When your butterfly flaps its wings here, something happens on the other side of the world. We know that already. So this is about rooting that that non-dual energy deep within yourself, because it starts with each of us. Okay. So I just want to have a quick look at the chart again to see if I've missed anything. So desire, earthly desire and soul desire. That's another binary. We've talked about this ascension crap. Oh my God, you know, that we're all going off to, like, we're all waiting to go home. This is home. And it's about rooting that deep within ourselves. You know, there may be life after death. You know, plenty of people have experienced that. Plenty of people have done past life regressions. And I'm not saying we can't learn anything from that. But right now, right here, you are here. And this is what you have. And this is about getting rooted in deep acceptance, self-understanding, self-consciousness, self-awareness. And then saying, looking at what that looks like. What do I desire it to look like? Okay, because I think really we all desire strong connection. So I don't think I've missed much on this that I want to talk about. I do want to say there's still, and I will show you quickly on the chart, just so for those of you that know your own chart, there's still this intense energy between 20 to, say, 24 degrees. We've got Venus coming up to Eris. We've got Mars at 24 degrees over here. We've got Ceres, the meter of our needs, at 20 degrees over here. Black Moon Lilith's at 22 degrees in a trine to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that was exact at 21 degrees. We've also got the way shower and keeper of the keys, Hecate, at 23 degrees. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that. I just want to say that if you have placements around those degrees, then you are still in the biggest part of transformation. But also, of course, with the full moon being at 4 degrees of fixed signs, if you have anything around 4 degrees of the fixed signs, which are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, you are also going to be feeling this big time. And I can guarantee that probably that's most of you, because we all seem to be affected by a lot of this right now. Me big time, but I'm not going to talk about that. Okay, so before I read the symbols, I want to reiterate that this really, the essence of this full moon is, what do you desire to manifest, to change, to transform in all areas of your life? But you can set intention to do that by getting a very clear picture of what you want your life to look like. So, yes to vision boards, yes to writing a letter to yourself from your future self saying, my life's like this, or any other of these things. I do believe in the law of attraction, but I believe it has to be coming from a very deep desire place. That's something with big feeling behind it. It's not just about picking pictures out and saying, I want that thing. Anyway, Sabian symbol. We go up as always because the full moon is at 4 degrees and 17 minutes. So we go up to the next degree or the next symbol. So we look at Scorpio 5. And I'm looking at Dane Rudyard's version of these symbols. Symbols are mostly the same, but they can vary a little bit depending on commentator. So this is a massive rocky shore resists the pounding of the sea. Now that kind of almost makes me laugh because, you know, water and rock, you could say that's Taurus Sun and then the Scorpio water, ocean, deep oceanic energies of Scorpio, of emotions. You could say that the rocky shore is kind of going, no, I'm not going to change. But I don't see it like that. Okay. I see this about slow change and slow development, which kind of reminds me of this slow life movement that a lot of people are doing. So I'll read his interpretation and then I will just give a little bit of commentary myself. Slow is the, he says, this is the inertia of all institutionalized procedures. Now, firstly, that does remind me that, you know, change is going to be slow as we move into these new paradigms that we're moving into. And we can only change it by changing how we behave and act and be within them. So, you know, I don't want to get too political, but I think we all know there's a lot kind of wrong with a lot of political systems. They won't, you know, they will be resistant to change. And that's kind of the inertia that I think he's talking about. However, water really always gets its way. So he says, slow is the rise of the land from the vast ocean, but once it's formed, it develops a formidable resistance to change in spite of storms. Likewise, once a culture has expressed its basic symbols and its particular way of thinking, feeling, and acting in concrete institutions, these change very slowly indeed. So, you know, we are entrenched in some old ways here, but it's changing. Water will keep pounding despite the resistance. However, I do agree with his interpretation. He says, we see it in how binding and resistant a communal way of life can become. In this, there is strength and stability, and these are necessary factors in the social life of man until new horizons beckon. The key word is stability. So we want to feel safe. We want to feel secure while we're going through all this change. And to my mind, this is about creating the stability within you, so that all the changes that are battering out there, the pounding of the sea, keep you very rooted and grounded. And you can do that intentionally by setting those intentions. Well, there was another thought. Yeah, I could come back. Okay, we'll go to John Sandbach's symbols as well. Oh, yes, I was thinking of, there's a new book out, and I think his name's Raw, and I was reading a review of it by somebody on Substack who writes a great blog and interviews people, and what was the name? Nope, it's gone. Can't remember it. I'll let you know at some point, or you can probably find a recommendation on my blog. But her name is Elise Lona. Oh, it's easier on podcasts. You can go and find her podcast or her Substack blog, Pulling the Thread. Pulling the Thread is her blog. And she wrote a blog about a book that says about stories, that we have lost our stories to live by, and we are creating a new story. But he said there's the story of me, there's the story of we, and then there's the story of the story of the collective. We can only start by weaving and reweaving and writing the story of me. So that's what I'm talking about, really. Anyway, the Sabian symbols, the Chandra symbols and the Omega symbol. The Omega symbol for Scorpio 5 is a sculptor creating large, fragile works of art out of paper. And he says this is about manifesting and being inspired. He said the degree angel is ruled by Hai Yael, which is prophecy and parallel universes. So, you know, this is kind of getting very quantum, which is what we're moving into. So he says this degree is intent on expressing its creativity without any concern for how it will be received or interpreted. It goes its own way and plays with energies in an uninhibited fashion that is free of tradition, constraints, and formal rules. The message it communicates is that all passes and that time and change are not to be feared, but rather savored in the moment. Now, the Chandra symbol is an Egyptian queen with a braided beard. With her beard, she is trying to gain credibility and authority by taking on the symbol of power. Just as the sculptor cares so little for credibility that he creates works of art in a virtually unmarketable media, this degree realizes the unreasoning and narrow biases of society and is willing, on the one hand, to work within those to achieve its ends, or when it feels it can afford the price, to ignore society's limiting framework and strike out on its own. At best, this degree brings greater self-awareness to others and to the world at large. It is an adept and aware social critic, though the medicine it offers society may not be readily taken. It also has a magical ability to inspire confidence in others, confidence that they can be themselves and that they can effectively cope with the restrictions that society puts upon them. I'll leave it there because I need some more painkillers. Oh, anyway, I will see you next time. The next video up will be the week ahead forecast for the week beginning whenever it begins. I don't even, what day am I on? We're on the 12th. It's Friday, so or are we? Anyway, starting next week, the 15th, I think. I'll be doing my week ahead forecast for that. There's a separate playlist for the week ahead forecast. There's a forecast for just podcast episodes. There's a playlist for Tea with Louise interviews where you could find the Melanie Reinhart interview, which was just amazing. And there's also an invitation to sign up for my Gemini Venus Starpoint webinar. I'm offering that on May the 1st. All that register for it will get the recording, and the slides will be available for download, because we are in amazing times, and the more kind of guidance and support we can get, the better, in my opinion. The Nest as well, my private membership community with at least two calls a month, is available for open enrollment now. And during the next Venus cycle, after Venus reappears as the evening star in July, I will be teaching the Venus Starpoint work to members. So much love. I will see you next time.